Hey, welcome to Athlete on Fire. Scott Jones here. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the last show. That workout, if you had a chance to do it, was a beast. I'm guessing that a lot of people listen to this thing and do the workout in the future, write it down, take a note or so, something like that. But I'm going to be sharing a lot of workouts that I do for myself, that I do with my clients. It just depends on where I'm at physically. And it's always going to be kind of fun. 20 years of coaching, background in exercise science. I just can't get away from wanting to keep people moving no matter what we do from a business and personal standpoint. So got similar format when we hop on today. Anytime you hear a pause like this, that's coffee break, y'all. That is a coffee break, so you can take a breath. You know, it's like back in the day when you had the commercials on. Remember commercials that we had to watch back in the late 90s, early 2000s? And you'd run, sprint to the bathroom and take care of some business and try to get back before the show started. Yeah, not quite that long, but you get the point. Anyway, I'm going to start off with a similar format. We got a little story about the boys. I like to give my boys a little shout out, or people in my family for sure. Then I got a business story. This is one of the moments in my professional entrepreneurial life that I wanted to actually hit somebody. I would have fought this person if they were in front of me. That's how bad it was. Just to set the table, my wife was pregnant. We were struggling with some stuff financially. We're hustling our butts off. I was about to go run. Actually, I just got done running a 50K, my first 50K. I was really, really tired. I DNF'd with a mile to go. So tensions were high, emotions were high. I was probably shouldn't have done it with Lauren being where she was. And the pregnancy was something we signed up for way, way in advance. And this dude from Utah, I'm not going to say names because I don't really do that usually. He did something that was beyond unethical. And I'm going to share that story and kind of the outcome after the fact, too. I got a shout out today. I got a runner in Sweden I'm going to shout out. I got a runner in Japan I'm going to shout out today. Got a good workout I did yesterday. 4 rounds, pretty quick. You can get it done in about 30, 35 minutes if you hustle. Good heavy strength and core workout. And then I got a little resource I've been using around the house for Christmas time. So let's dive right in. Athlete on Fire is all about using sport, performance, athletics as the backdrop for living kind of a cool life and a meaningful life. So a little shout out to my oldest son, Wyatt. He is such a cool kid, man. He literally would read a book or two a day if he had the chance. And he was on that point. They have these points assigned for different types of books. I think it's based on the difficulty and the how hard it is to comprehend the reading that you're doing. And he was telling me the other day that the hardest one in his school, or the hardest one that you can read, or the most points you can get, is War and Peace, which I tried to read one time, and it was brutally dry and really, really wordy. I just couldn't get through it. But they have to take a little comprehension test after the fact. And I think he said something like you get 140 points if you get at least 50%, which is full score. And if you get less than 50 and you're still ready, you get half the points. And half the points for War and Peace is more than double for like most of the books that these 11-year-olds could read. So it's just kind of cool to hear him like see what's available to the world and want to dive into the stuff that he knows is difficult and would push him a little bit. To that note, bus stop is about a half mile from the house, so you kind of see the mentality of this kid. He can go run 5 or 6 miles, and he won't do it fast. He doesn't have that push yet. It's coming. I can see it. I can see him starting to push a little bit here and there, but you know, I pick him up every once in a while. I just take his pack. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna drive behind you. So I'll just we're out in the country, and I'll just drive my vehicle behind him, and he'll. He'll just run to the house, and there's a bunch of big hills, and he never stops. I mean, he might be at a walking pace, but he never stops. I just love that grit. It's going to pay off. It's definitely going to pay off in his professional and personal life down the road, and I just love seeing how these habits and these tendencies kind of get formed. And I'm sure if you guys are listening, you have kids, and you see a lot of that stuff with your own kids. But, I just love that, man. You just keep working, dude. It's freaking awesome. I'll keep you guys updated on the War and Peace if he ever actually does get to it. Story. All right. There's about 5 business things in my life, interactions that really, really piss me off. And you know, a lot of times it's on us, you know, maybe contracts weren't as clear as they needed to be and this and that, but most of the time what was expected was written on paper, and for me, usually is that's enough. But this one is crazy. So back in 2011, before our first one was born, before Wyatt was born, Lauren, my wife, was about, I'm trying to remember, she's about 5 months, 4 or 5 months pregnant. And so she's kind of feeling, you know, just the morning sickness was hitting her and the nausea throughout the day. Like, she was not feeling that great through this pregnancy. And me and her and some other buddies had signed up for our first 50K. And our 50K was out in Gunnison, Colorado. What was it called? Sageburner, I think. Sageburner 50K. I was dealing with some crazy IT band syndrome. Just brutal. I'd never had it before. My dumb butt went out in the spring and ran 14 without having any kind of a base. And it just started as an acute injury, and I could not get rid of it for the whole summer. My brother-in-law was out there, and he's having some cramping early in the race. And I wasn't feeling that good running. So me and him just power hiked the crap out of the thing. And we were actually on pace to finish it. And they pulled an aid station with about 2 miles to go and pushed us off the course. And when we got down there, I looked at the time. We actually got our 50K in and didn't have our last aid station. I don't know if the volunteers thought they were supposed to pick up early or what, but that was frustrating. Lauren's dealing with not feeling good, and our other buddies finish up, and I get to the finish line after the fact, and she's like, hey, we got a situation. So at the time, we were put on this race called Drenched, and Drenched was a race, if you remember the collar run back in the day, it was like a collar run but with water. So we had this concept that we thought would be really cool: fire hoses and water tunnels and foam pits and water slides and huge water balloon fight at the end. And it was a great concept, and we put out good marketing. Our first event we ever had was in Denver, Colorado. We had 2,000 people show up. It was some of the most physically demanding and mentally demanding stuff I've ever done. I slept in a U-Haul at the race start just to make sure that people wouldn't take our stuff. In downtown Denver at City Park, 50 yards away from the wall that keeps the zoo from the park, listening to lions and tigers and bears grunt and growl all night. I don't know what the heck was going on over there. Anyway, didn't sleep. Got the course set up. Everything looked good. We had the fire truck start the race with huge water spray into a couple thousand people. We had a bagpipe group start the race off, and I was on the bike leading the race. And I always would hop on the bike just to make sure that our volunteers were in the right spots out on the course and course markings were good. And right before that race started, the cyclist drove through our course that was closed off and actually broke his arm by falling on our course. So we had ambulance out in the course. So we had to clear those. I had to clear those guys out a couple hundred yards ahead of the 2,000 people. I just remember it was so freaking stressful, man. Right when I got out on the course, a couple hundred yards in, I started welling up just from the overwhelm of having this many people trust us to come out and do our thing and actually pulling it off. It turned out to be a really, really cool day. So we get done with that thing, 2,000 people. We figured we can do this in 10 different cities because people love it, right? That's a whole different story. I'll tell it a different time. But basically what you need to know is that we hire some people to do some marketing, mostly video work. We did all the other marketing ourselves. We hired a web designer. It was the first time we ever hired a web designer. We made a little bit of money from that first event, and we're like, okay, let's just do this let's hire somebody who we trust. It was a referral from some of the video people out in Utah. They were putting out tons of viral stuff at the time. Just really cool, visually stunning videos with cool music that they produce themselves. And you can imagine, like, remember those big orb balls that you would like roll down a mountain in? They just have goofy films with doing adventurous stuff with really cool music. That was their niche, and they killed. They'd have millions of views on their stuff. I remember the first video they did for us, I think we got 30 or 50,000 hits on YouTube like the first week. So it's a really, really effective marketing tool. So we trusted these guys. They were helping us out big time. So they referred us to this web designer, and we had, I think, 8 to 10 cities back in 2012 or 13 that we were going to go to. And the season was about to kick off because it's a summer event. It has to be hot outside for the water to really be kind of fun. And right before everything was about to kick off, we're about to have some big marketing efforts. Our web designer knew this, and we made a deal with him. I don't remember the exact terms, but it's something like we were paying $3,000 or $4,000 up front for the website. Like, back then you could pay $10,000 or $15,000 for a website easily. So we're paying a few thousand up front, and then we were gonna give him 2 or 3% of the company or of the profits for the whole year. So he was incentivized to help with some of the other marketing stuff, and it worked out that he could potentially make 3 times what he would have made as a flat rate. So that happened a lot of times back in the day. I don't know if it still does. We haven't done it in a while. So anyway, that was the deal. It was on paper. We had a contract, and we're sitting out here out in Gunnison, Colorado, eating lunch, and we're getting these emails. Guys, I decided that I want to go with the flat rate, and I really need to have a check in my account by the end of the day, or I'm pulling the website. So we get online. He had already pulled the website. He was basically blackmailing us to pay him $5,000-$6,000 that day, or else he was pulling the site. And he knew that he had us, because I can't remember exactly what we had going out, but we had some big marketing things going out into the internet. I think it was video and some promotions with some partners, because we were in Philly and DC, we were in LA, we were in Atlanta, Jacksonville, Kansas, all the big cities, man. We were in every big city, Dallas, Fort Worth, and he pulled our website and blackmailed us to get $5,000 or $6,000 to him that day. So, needless to say, we scrounged up the money, paid him. I wanted to punch a freaking hole through the wall. I mean, I just remember just being so freaking hot and irate that somebody knew that we were having a kid, knew that we had a contract, and still pulled the plug from us. So yeah, we dealt with it. We got our site back. I went in the back end. I knew how to get in the back end of the WordPress stuff. I deleted everything that had to do with this guy from there, and that is pretty much when I learned how to do websites. So all the stuff that you guys have ever seen me do, becoming Ultra, Athlete on Fire, a lot of my wife's stuff, we both learned how to build websites after that. We were so hurt and kind of in awe that somebody could do that to us. So because he was part of the network that we were in, as far as those marketing people, we told those guys, and I don't remember their response. They were actually pretty sympathetic with us, and I just remember watching this guy on the socials, because he just seemed like such a freaking snake, man. And a year later, he tried to do a knockoff event. There's a popular show called Wipeout on TV. I'm sure you guys have seen it. And he came up with a pretty cool concept where it was like a 5K with like a lot of the bouncy house type things that they do at Wipeout. But the production was just crazy, and the cost to get those inflatables was crazy. And I remember him coming out to Colorado with that event. And I was within 10 feet of him, and I wanted to say something to him, but I just kind of sat back and watched him. We were marketing out there at the same event. And within a year or two, he went completely bankrupt with that event. And I make a rule. I do not laud or get excited when people fail, but man, that just seemed somewhat poetic after the stuff that he did with us. I'm sure he's fine. He's freaking really smart. He's a great web designer. I know for a fact he figured it out after the fact, but it's kind of what you get, man. So that was a crazy story. I'm glad that I didn't hold on to that anger, because it probably would have gave me freaking some kind of disease in a day or two. So that is a crazy business story. Shout out. So we got a shout out to Hannah. I mentioned her yesterday. Hannah is out in Sweden. I got an awesome text from her on my WhatsApp this morning. Let me read this thing. She was raising money for charity, and I got a message from her today. Done. 100 miles, 25 hours, 5 minutes. Raised over $3,000 for refugee children. Can't wait to tell you everything. So, hell yeah, Hannah. That's freaking awesome. I can't wait to hear about it. She's so visibly nervous in our last call, which is pretty cool. I think as adults, athletically, it's so hard to find things to get us to give us those little butterflies and that nervousness, but it's healthy, and it feels great to be able to go do something like that. So heck yeah, way to use your platform and your energy and your body to do something good in the world, Hannah. And then I got another shout out for Lisa. Lisa's out in Japan, military stuff, near the home birthplace of my father-in-law. My wife is quarter Japanese. He was born in Kyoto, Japan. So she's going to be a resource that I lean on when we eventually go out there and show the boys where some of their ancestors are from. But she just got back at it. She's doing the 12 Runs of Christmas program or challenge that I have over at Becoming Ultra, becomingultra.com. And you guys can chime in, or you can go listen to that podcast. I'm just giving people a different run every day for 12 days before Christmas. It's kind of a fun thing we've been doing the last couple of years. But yeah, she got back on it and I guess hasn't been running very much, and just yeah, laced them up, got out there, pushed a little bit, and it's just good to see people kind of come back to it and see what really drives them. So big shout out. I know it's got to be tough to be in a different country with raising kids and working and all of those things. As adventurous as it is, there's got to be tons of challenges. I can definitely relate in some of the stuff that I do. So big shout out to Lisa, and big shout out to Lisa. She's one of the first people that really believed in me. She was listening to the podcast years ago, and she's one of the first members of Team BU, which was a little membership thing we used to have that you could pay, I don't know, like 15, 20 bucks a month. And I don't know, when that first order came through, I just started getting confidence I could actually do this coaching thing online, because I've been doing it in real life for so long. So thank you, Lisa. All right, we got a workout. This is one I did yesterday. When I'm at home, especially in the winter, it seems like my workflow is like get up early, work a lot online, write a lot, write programs for clients, and try to create a bunch of nervous energy so that I can freaking just go slay it in the little workout room we built here at the house. So I have my setup. I have dumbbells from 5 to 60 pairs of everything. I got an ab wheel. I got a sandbag that's about 50 pounds. I've got a Bosu ball, a bunch of bands. We got some slam balls. I think just a 20 and a 25. I said ab wheel. I got a rack for squats, pull-ups. I got some big weights, Olympic bar. I think weights up to 285, something like that. And I got a bench that I can work off of. And that's all inside. And then I have mountains. And that's the big one. So that's my setup. Most of the stuff you can find at any kind of gym. So workout yesterday. Oh, and I have an aerosol bike from 1912. I swear to goodness. It's gold. It runs really well. Nothing on the monitor works. You can see RPMs. That's it. But that's my warm-up bike. And I don't know, if I need to work off some energy, that's where I hop on. So any kind of cardio works. I like doing the bike for this one because it's kind of like we got some heavy legs built in the day before, and I wanted to loosen everything up. So 8 minutes, round one, 8 minutes on the bike. And then you got bench press or chest press for 12. You got pull-ups for 6. You got ab wheels for 10. And then you got weighted sandbag sit-ups to put that sandbag on your chest for 15. And those reps stay the same the whole workout. You got 4 rounds. The only thing that changes is the bike is 6 minutes round two, and then 4 minutes for round 3 and 4. So just kind of keeping the heart rate up, keeping a good sweat. The bench or chest press needs to be challenging for those last 4 reps. Need to be pretty difficult. Pull-ups, if you can't do pull-ups, you can do pull-downs with a band. You can do pull-downs with a machine. You can do bent over rows. Just start working on some backside muscles. That's fine. Ab wheels, if you don't have those, you can do kickouts, mountain climbers, anything where you're facing down, plank walk-ups, stuff like that's fine. But ab wheel, man, go spend a few bucks on those things. It's just awesome. It's an awesome tool. And then sandbag. I think mine's about 50, but I weigh 200 pounds, so use accordingly. And if it feels like a struggle to get up every single rep, like, you should be able to bust out the first 10 pretty quick, and then the last 5 should be kind of challenging for you. So that's what we got. It's a 30-40 minute workout. Kind of works on some base muscle groups, and it's a fun one. So there you go. Lastly, we are going to finish with a resource. This has nothing to do with sport at all. It is Kasa, K-A-S-A. I think I just bought it at, like, I don't know, Target, Walmart or something. But they're just plugs. And I plug in all my Christmas lights outside and inside. And you can put them all in timers, or you can manually turn them on and off from your phone. Which, as cold as it is out here, I'm sure people have been using timers for years. But just the easy use to be able to schedule everything on the phone is freaking awesome. We have a Christmas tree. We have a blue spruce out our backyard, and our backyard is kind of our front yard, because their front yard, the part facing the road doesn't have any windows. It has like one window. Then all the windows are west and north facing, or west and south facing, which is awesome because we get lots of sunshine in the winter. Huge blue spruce, probably 20 feet tall. The previous owners had red, white, and green lights in this tree. I have no idea how they got it to the top, and I didn't even know the lights were there until the second Christmas we were here, and we plugged them in and they all worked. So I'm saying this because our bedroom is upstairs, me and my wife's bedroom's upstairs, and that freaking tree like lights up the house like Christmas Vacation style, if you remember that movie, when they would light it up and their neighbors would get mad at them or whatever. So we can time our lights to go off or just turn them off manually when we need to get a little sleep, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, Kasa, KASA, pretty cool. Been using it this season, and it's helped a lot. So you don't have to go out there in the freezing cold. But that's what we got. So we'll be having some guests here. I got some really cool people in my life that are going to hop on, athletes and entrepreneurs and all that stuff. My goal is to have two or three guests per week just to come and shoot around a little bit, kind of have like recurring guests and all that good stuff. So hope it was entertaining enough to keep you through 20 minutes, and have a great day wherever you guys are at. Get some exercise in, go love on some people, go find some people that need some love this time of year. It's tough for a lot of people who've dealt with some loss or grief or just don't have a lot of people around them. So this is the time to go lift them up. Thanks a lot, y'all.